This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Trump supporters continuing to speak out against the Justice Department for failing to release the much-hyped records in Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking case. Here's ABC's Perry Russum.
Some Republicans want Epstein's convicted co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell to testify before Congress. Conservative commentators and podcasters who helped amplify Trump's platform during the 2024 campaign now slamming the administration's lack of transparency. Joe Rogan mocking the DOJ and the FBI to his 20 million subscribers over the administration's handling of the file.
Trump says he doesn't understand the fascination. Vice President Vance breaking the 50-50 tie on the Senate's first vote to advance a White House bill backed at clawing back at money already approved for foreign aid and funding for public broadcasting. The pilot of a small aircraft arrested. Canadian police say he stole a Cessna from a flying club about 60 miles from Vancouver, flew it to Vancouver, landed. The incident forced a ground stop at the airport. The pilot taken into custody. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Emmy nominations for this year are in, and if you like to laugh, here are some shows you may or may not have seen that could be worth checking out. The nominees for the Best Comedy Series include Abbott Elementary, The Bear, HBO's Hacks, Netflix's Nobody Wants This, Only Murders in the Building, Apple TV's Shrinking, and The Studio, and the offbeat cool What We Do in the Shadows. Nominees for Actor in a Comedy Series include Adam Brody for Nobody Wants This, The Studio's Seth Rogen, Jason Segel in Shrinking, Martin Short in Only Murders, and Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. Outstanding actress nominees in a comedy series include Ayo Edebiri from The Bear, Jean Smart from Hacks, no surprise there, Kristen Bell from Nobody Wants This, and Quinta Brunson from Abbott Elementary. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another win for the National League. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star game ended after 9 innings, all tied up 6-6. So for the first time, instead of extra innings, they had a tiebreaker called a swing-off. Batters getting 3 chances to hit a home run. Kyle Schwarber of the Phillies got hot, hitting all 3 out of the park to lead the National League 4-3. It's only the second time in 12 years the NL has beat the American League in the Midsummer Classic. And Brewers pitchers Trevor McGill and rookie Jacob Mizorowski each able to play in the game. McGill retiring the batter he faced, the Miz, 3 out of 4, allowing just 1 hit. NBA, now that the Bucks have signed center Miles Turner, do they still need to add a shooting guard like Damian Lillard?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I like our team. I really do. I like all the guys that we brought back. Miles mentioned that it was those signings were intentional.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time?
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are on the road and live from Oshkosh, the EAA Museum. Matinair on Air and the Todd Albus Show. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and again tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Otherwise, today will be warm and muggy with a high in the mid to upper 80s. Tonight, upper 50s tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy and cooler with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 68.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And then the legendary and one and only Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions performs in the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is not the kind of weather that our county fair organizers were hoping for this week. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. You're going to have to keep an eye on weather today, no matter whether you're going to the county fair trying to get chores done or just working in the backyard. We've got changing dynamics that are going to be bringing us showers, thunderstorms, maybe some severe weather. The possibility of a tornado is out there. Mostly, they're concerned about the winds that today could gust up to 10 miles per hour out of the south. We've got a pretty good chance of showers or thunderstorms developing right around lunchtime today, continuing into the afternoon and evening hours. Some of these storms could produce heavy rainfall. Rainfall amounts right now between a quarter and a half an inch, but an inch is possible. Daytime highs today, if we see them, 86. Tonight, those showers and thunderstorms continue. Overnight lows down to about 61. Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, highs near 70. Friday, sunshine back in the forecast, 76, before another chance of showers comes back around on Saturday. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, paying attention to those weather details. He'll join us in about 15 minutes. We're also talking with Dr. Amy Reduns, current president of the Wisconsin Beef Council. She just returned from a great summer conference out in California on how beef producers are channeling their checkoff dollars to keep international markets open, even when tariffs loom. And county fairs do not like to see this kind of severe weather rolling in. They've got a lot of money on the line for the entertainment, the activities, the groups that they bring in. How do they protect themselves? Stephanie Hoff will take you behind the scenes on that one on a Wednesday.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Hey, Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy. It's time to feel good. July 31st through August 10th, only at the Wisconsin State Fair. Presented by U.S. Cellular.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
It's National Ice Cream Month, and nothing beats having a scoop of that sweet, smooth treat in the heat. I'm Aubrey Schlimgen from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Ken Norton chats with us as he is the director of retail operations with Chocolate Shop Ice Cream Company, where there he oversees retail for their 9 locations and their production facility in Madison. He tells us more about their memorable ice cream names and flavors and how the company first got started.
The company started in 1962, started out as an actual chocolate shop that had ice cream that they were making in the back. The ice cream took off and became really popular, and so we started just focusing on the ice cream, and 63 years later now, we've grown into a mega ice cream development. We serve chocolate shop ice cream all over the United States, so almost all 50 states now.
So what is that aspect like then with selling all over the U.S.? You said it literally just started here in Wisconsin, but what has that transition been like?
I wasn't here for the transition, so but I will say it's quite exciting to go into work knowing that our ice cream is being sold everywhere, because Wisconsin dairy is popular, so it's the best, and it's got to be served everywhere. So it's not just served here in Madison, although we're proud to serve it in Madison. We're happy to represent Wisconsin all over the United States. I was just on vacation in Florida a few weeks ago and was able to stop by and see three chocolate shop ice cream shops down where I was in Florida. So it's nice to have all over.
Absolutely. And can you tell us a little bit about how long you've been with the company and kind of what your path has been with the company as well?
Sure. This is my fifth year with the company. I took the job with Chocolate Shop Ice Cream just because I loved the ice cream so much. I had my own business that I owned for 30 years and did that and kind of retired from that and thought, you know, I love the ice cream. I'm just going to go work for the ice cream. And that's what I did. Ever since I read the first tagline that they had of, if you want nutrition, eat carrots. And if you ever read the information, the nutrition information on our dishes, it says, you know, if you want nutrition, it's just go eat carrots, because it's full of high fat and high calories and all the good stuff that makes Wisconsin dairy good. And I just found that really entertaining, not to mention the names of the ice cream entertained me a lot. You were mentioning It's Just Got Serious being one of our most popular flavors, and I just loved a company that named their ice cream that. And I thought, that's who I want to go work for. And I got to say, it's the most fun I've ever had. Owning my own business was great, but being a part of this business is way better. I wish I would have found this 30 years ago.
Absolutely. So that's actually pretty fascinating that, you know, you went from retirement and then back into a company of sorts, but just to help kind of spread the joy of enjoying ice cream, something that's truly a delectable treat. So you talked a little bit about, you know, the fascination with the names. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe the inspiration behind how Chocolate Shop comes up with their names and like naming the flavors as well? Because they are quite different than, you know, some other, I guess, plain Jane names when it comes to ice cream flavors.
Well, sometimes the plain Jane names are helpful, so that if you're looking for chocolate ice cream, you got chocolate ice cream, and that's helpful. I will say it's a large group of people that are sitting around in the R&D room talking about, well, what are we going to come up with for this one, and what can we do to make that flavor stand out a little bit more? Sometimes when we have a flavor that's definitely unique, you want a unique name that draws people's attention to it, that says, oh, what's that? Because like with the Sirius, you just can't help but ask, what the heck is in Sirius? Or the Exhausted Parent immediately is something that draws you in and says, okay, I need to know what's in Exhausted Parent. But if we just called it espresso ice cream, you'd probably think twice, okay, I don't know. But Exhausted Parent, you really get involved with that. Right now, things like the Sirius, that was a creation that one of our customers came up with. Every year we run a Create a Flavor contest that the customers are allowed to put in whatever thoughts they want for flavors. Sirius was one. Kitty Kitty Bang Bang was a customer creation. So sometimes our customers name our ice cream for us.
So what is the flavor then this year? Obviously, you talked about, you know, you send this up to the customers every single year. So, you know, what is this year's, or when does that kind of take place?
Actually, good question, because that just gets released today. So that's being put in all our shops this afternoon. That's our apple cider donut that won last year. It is such a good flavor. And immediately you get that sense of being out at the apple orchard eating an apple cider donut. And a great sense of, as we're getting ready to go into the fall, a good flavor to enjoy right now.
Well, what great timing, especially to celebrate National Ice Cream Month. And, you know, with National Ice Cream Day coming up, what a great timing. And, man, that flavor sounds amazing. I want that actually right now. And then how about then National Ice Cream Month? Is there anything that Chocolate Shop is doing specifically to kind of like help celebrate these things, or even with National Ice Cream Day?
Well, you were mentioning a little bit earlier, being in the dairy world, dairy is kind of every day for us is ice cream day. We get to celebrate ice cream every day. So we get to do what we always do, and that's eat ice cream and celebrate ice cream. But the actual day itself, National Ice Cream Day, is going to be Sunday the 20th. We've celebrated it kind of passively over the last several years. Last year, we decided to do something fun and unique with it, and we created what we call a cone crawl, sort of like a bar crawl, where you go from bar to bar and sample certain beers. This is coming to all 9 locations and sampling some of our flavors for ice cream. Last year was our first year that we did it. We were expecting maybe a handful of people to go to all 9 shops. We ordered 500 prizes to give out for the people who did complete all 9 shops. We ended up running out of prizes really early in the afternoon, and we're amazed that we had thousands of people come out and do it. I ran into some of the same people in line as I went from store to store, because we ran out of ice cream, so I was running around trying to deliver ice cream to the different shops, and I would see the same people in line from store to store. So many people came out and begged us, please make sure that this is done again. So it's become an annual event. This is our second year doing it. Each shop has 2 special flavors that we are putting out there as a promotional flavor of this is the one we want you to see. Apple cider donut will be one of those. So we get to one of the stores, you get to try our brand new flavor. We have a couple new flavors also this year. The mango and tamed was new. The cheesecake, the key lime cheesecake, also brand new. That'll be featured. So some of the flavors that we're featuring are flavors that we've won awards at the dairy expos. Things that our Zanzibar is always a number one chocolate flavor. So our signature flavors, as well as some of the brand new flavors, are going to be coming out for Cone Crawl.
Absolutely. And can you tell us a little bit about not just having the 9 locations as well, but you guys have pop-up shops or carts kind of elsewhere as well. And what's kind of hopefully the connection and just getting the ice cream out to people with that then?
Yeah, we have any festival you go to in Madison, you're going to see Chocolate Shop sponsoring a lot of the festivals. Anything that happens in town, Chocolate Shop ice cream is usually involved in it. If you go down to the Kohl Center, you're going to see Chocolate Shop there. It's pretty amazing how often you see that little cow logo wherever you go. So anything you're doing around town, there's pretty good chance you're going to get some Chocolate Shop ice cream nearby.
That was Ken Norton, the Director of Retail Operations at Chocolate Shop Ice Cream Company, sharing how every day is truly ice cream day for all of them and who work with the company. Also remember to celebrate National Ice Cream Month as well as National Ice Cream Day, taking place July 20th, where you can participate in Chocolate Shop's Cone Crawl or find local ice cream near you. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Aubrey Schlumgen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. We're all seeing the smoke, but what exactly is causing all the fires in Canada? Turns out the 5,000-year-old forest stretching across the country doesn't get as much snow cover in the spring as it used to and is experiencing warmer, drier summers because of climate change, making wildfire season much more severe. Canada's boreal forest is the largest intact forest in the world. If you're in the market for new insulation, energy-efficient appliances, heating and cooling upgrades, now is definitely the time. The new mega budget signed into law earlier this month means federal incentives to help families save energy are about to go away. But Wisconsin's program still has federal funding available. Head to focusonenergy.com and click on IRA home energy rebates for more. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the center, WRCE. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road for what makes Wisconsin great, this time from the EAA and Oshkosh Air Museum, along with Jane and Greg. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
At Compure.com, Stu Mock-Egg, meteorologist, joining us this morning. Yeah, very interesting little pink hue out there this morning. Are we going to see any sunshine, Stu, or is this basically a nonstop cloudy, overcast rain event coming our way?
I think in the south we'll have some sunshine. Further north, not going to be that great of a chance. I mean, there's already been a quarter inch of rain reported at Park Falls and some activity on weather radar up in that northwest part of the state and back into Minnesota. Stronger rain down toward Mason City, north central Iowa, and down toward Des Moines as well in the central part of the state. All along that cool front that's trying to pull on into the area. Not too quickly, but it lines up across northern Wisconsin back to southeast South Dakota, going to drop on into the area. There is a flash flood watch in effect from late afternoon, around 3 until 10 p.m. tonight, and that covers areas not all that far away in central Wisconsin, Washera, Winnebago, Calumet, Manitowoc, up into Kewaunee, Brown, Outagamie, Waupaca, Shawnee, back to Marathon, Wood, and Portage County, that east central part of the state under that flood watch as they head on through the afternoon. We expect that front drops in out of the north. It will indeed be accounting for rainfall, and with rain possible, of course, ready in the northwest, and the rain possible further on east and southwest, it's going to be holding on to a little more of that cloud cover like you talked about, Pam. And the temperatures in southern Wisconsin are still quite warm, but the further you head to the northwest, the cooler it'll stay today, and definitely going to get a lot cooler. I mean, in southern Wisconsin, into the upper 80s yet today, in the lower or mid-70s at best tomorrow. Once that cool front drops through, it does get and stay a lot cooler. Right through midweek, right on into the day Thursday, and even around for Friday, cooler than normal. And as much as we dry it out, and that sounds like much better news Thursday and Friday, I'd expect then even on toward late Friday in the northwest, certainly Friday night, then into Saturday, another rain chance, more scattered shower and storm development could be here as we get the weekend underway as well. I'll check those forecast details right after
family
this.
Reunions, anniversaries, neighborhood get-togethers, whatever event you're planning, incorporate a little Bavaria sausage flavor in your event. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, I wouldn't steer you wrong. I'll tell you what, Bavaria sausage can give you just what you're looking for when it comes to impressing your guests with fantastic flavor and old world recipes. And things are always changing at Bavaria Sausage, so you want to check back often. Their website's fantastic, BavariaSausage.com, making it easy for you to get the products you're looking for. Or better yet, visit face-to-face in the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrotter Road in Fitchburg. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. No matter what your celebration is, Scott and the crew will work towards making sure it's a success. Looking for something special or maybe bigger volumes? That's where you want to contact Scott and Lisa and let them know what you're looking for. BavariaSausage.com. You stop by, they'll make the difference. All right, buddy, let's have the details. People hanging on every word today.
All right. Well, there is already rain in northwestern Wisconsin. More clouds with the rain there and staying cooler. Upper 60s, maybe low 70s at best. The further you head south and east, the warmer it will be today. And I expect mid and upper 80s in southern and especially southeast Wisconsin. But shower and thunderstorm activity will push east and southeast across the state. In the far northwest, as I've said this morning, but pushing on into the east and southeast by late afternoon and evening, shower and thunderstorm activity then lasting on through the nighttime as we drop into the very low 60s and the winds become west and northwest, even in the south, and some morning clouds, maybe a little rain in the far southeast Thursday, otherwise just trying to break it up a little bit. upper 60s and low 70s on Thursday. Sunshine back here, Pam, upper 70s by Friday, but winds not too strong. Of course, east and southeast, 5 to 10 on Friday. It's just going to be a big difference with that rain moving through this afternoon and evening and then cooling us off for the end of the week.
Now, do we expect severe weather? We're talking about rain, maybe thunderstorms, but what about tornado activity?
I don't think that's going to be a big event today because that cooler air is already starting to wrap in. We don't have that big difference in air mass, but heavier rain. I mean, we talked about that flood warnings eastern and central and east central Wisconsin where an inch or two could be around yet today.
All right. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow and see what happens.
All righty.
Stu Muck, Ag Meteorologist with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Again, Compeer Financial is your financial partner. Whether it's agriculture or you're just looking for that little piece of paradise out in the countryside, happy to help you with that. Find a location near you at Compeer.com. Rainfall reporters, go ahead, 877-301-FARM.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now bring you a conversation from a recent episode of the Busted Pencils podcast, talking about how AI or artificial intelligence is being utilized in rural classrooms.
I mean, really, I think it was reading so many of these books, like educational, like more theory-based books. It's like we kind of put theory into action. So it was kind of like a happen chance where we stumbled across, you know, Khan Academy with their KhanMigo, like their AI tutor bot. There's a lot more like technology sources, like embedding AI into them. So we started to look at what would be the capabilities of a classroom if we let some of the tier one instruction be turned over to AI. So where students are actually receiving learning. I mean, as adults, if I want to learn how to change a faucet, I go and watch a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. Kids, this generation of kids, they want to learn via technology. They want to learn via videos. And so I think it was just like this perfect storm of like students being disengaged. You know, I was an instructional coach and associate principal. I've sat through my fair share of lessons that I, as the adult, was bored. So it's like all these problems of practice that we were trying to like find a way to solve. And it's like, well, we have something right in our hands. And so what would it look like if we could turn over some of that tier one instruction to a tutor bot or to personalized learning via an online platform and let the teachers do the depth of knowledge and challenge-based learning and really bringing in those real-world connections.
Tell us, rural Wisconsin. So this is happening then in rural Wisconsin.
It's happening. I mean, we have schools that are, I mean, we started off as like a little pilot and now it's like, I feel like every day it's like, what's going on? Like, what is going on? And in this idea of rethinking or rebuilding like public education, I think each district that we work with kind of faces their own problem of practice. We have a district that couldn't really hire a physics teacher. So how can they take a teacher that has no physics background and use AI to truly help teach the kids? We have districts who are like, you know what? No, we're going to teach math, science, ELA, all the content. We're going to teach that and we're going to reduce that time down so the kids get it all.
You've been listening to a portion of the Busted Pencils podcast. To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to our website, civicmedia.us/shows.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Trump supporters continuing to speak out against the Justice Department for failing to release the much-hyped records in Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking case. Here's ABC's Perry Russell.
Some Republicans want Epstein's convicted co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell to testify before Congress. Conservative commentators and podcasters who helped amplify Trump's platform during the 2024 campaign now slamming the administration's lack of transparency. Joe Rogan mocking the DOJ and the FBI to his 20 million subscribers over the administration's administration's handling of the file.
Trump says he doesn't understand the fascination. Vice President Vance breaking the 50-50 tie on the Senate's first vote to advance a White House bill backed at clawing back at money already approved for foreign aid and funding for public broadcasting. The pilot of a small aircraft arrested. Canadian police say stole a Cessna from a flying club about 60 miles from Vancouver, flew it to Vancouver, landed. The incident forced a ground stop at the airport. The pilot taken into custody. This is ABC News.
Another win for the National League. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star game ended after 9 innings, all tied up 6-6. So for the first time, instead of extra innings, they had a tiebreaker called a swing-off. Batters getting 3 chances to hit a home run. Kyle Schwarber of the Phillies got hot, hitting all 3 out of the park to lead the National League 4-3. It's only the second time in 12 years the NL has beat the American League in the Midsummer Classic. And Brewers pitchers Trevor McGill and rookie Jacob Mizorowski each able to play in the game. McGill retiring the batter he faced, the Miz, 3 out of 4, allowing just 1 hit. NBA, now that the Bucks have signed center Miles Turner, do they still need to add a shooting guard like Damian Lillard?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I like our team. I really do. I like all the guys that we brought back. Miles mentioned that it was those signings were intentional.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Chris Larson. We discuss how to bring Democrats together and have productive disagreements. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and again tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Otherwise, today will be warm and muggy with a high in the mid to upper 80s. Tonight, upper 50s tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy and cooler with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 68.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals, he wants the lords, he wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now take you to a recent conversation on Matinair on Air with Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
Well, and I guess, Darren, it's almost like they want farmers to come out and say you're against SNAP, and you're not. It's not like this is something that farmers have been calling for, that we need to get rid of SNAP because it's overextending us. That's not accurate.
Yeah, you know, it's more or less coming from the right wing of the Republican Party and trying to, you know, save some tax dollars. In reality, you know, the folks that are benefiting from that program are a lot of those same folks that are voting for those right wing candidates. And, you know, you look at where most of those dollars go, it's to more of the red states than the blue states. And how do we make sure that we're keeping those programs going in order to, you know, help the most needy.
And one of those programs I want to highlight really quick that was, I believe, got, forgive the term, dozed, but it was part of the big, you know, it happened in this first quarter of the year, was the program which gave farmers money to grow food to get to pantries to give to people. So they cut a program that would allow farmers to make money to grow their food to feed those who are hungry. I mean, I don't know if there is another thing out there that you could cut that shows that they don't care about farmers and they do not care about the poor or the hungry. They're not mutually exclusive. When I saw that, and I think we spoke to you, I know that Pat spoke to Hans Breitenmoser about it, but it's just such a blaring example of how little they care about the actual people of this country.
Yeah, that's the LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. And, you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops that then ultimately end up in the food pantries, the tribal elders box. You know, it's all going to help the people that are in most need of a daily nutritious meal. And so getting rid of a program that's benefiting farmers directly, but also making sure that there's a system in place to help that food go 10 miles or 20 miles instead of having to travel 1,000 miles. You know, that takes a lot of that those dollars away directly away from the farmers because you have all those middleman dollars that are being dispersed. And a program like the LFPA program is certainly connected to farmers.
Catch Matt and Air on Air live weekdays from 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Get open and you can hit them for 8 yards or something like that.
So the talk text line open to you. Has the winter wheat harvest begun in your area? Let us know, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. County fair activity continues across Wisconsin regardless of the weather. How is it going with your county fair? Are the kids excited? A lot of different activities going on. Like I said, communicate directly with us, 877-301-FARM. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 16th day of July. Kind of a monumental day in a lot of different ways for Wisconsin. On this day back in 1843, Wisconsin's very first woman physician was born. Her name was Laura Ross Wolcott. She was born in Maine. She actually privately studied medicine at Harvard because at that time in 1843, women were not admitted into colleges. She moved to Wisconsin and became the state's first female physician and the third in the nation in 1843. On this day, in 1941, the Horicon National Wildlife Refuge was established. A 20-year struggle by conservationists to get that Horicon National Wildlife Refuge in place. The refuge itself is over 21,000 acres and encompasses the Horicon Marsh, which is the largest freshwater cattail marsh in the U.S. How about that? On this day, 1995, a deadly heat wave came to an end. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel at that time called it the greatest single event of weather-related deaths in Wisconsin history, responsible for at least 141 deaths. That was on this day back in 1995. Happy birthday to actor-comedian Will Ferrell. He is 58 years young today. And now you know. It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. You should be saying this right along with me. That's STEFFESgroup.com. You want to talk to them one-on-one? No problem. They'll answer the phone, walk you through the details. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hune along with us from the Steffes Group. We were just talking off air about how 4th of July kind of makes the first week of July less productive perhaps than many other weeks in July. You've got a full slate of activities coming up though this week and next, don't you, Ashley?
Yeah, we really do. So, for instance, next Wednesday, we've got our second bi-monthly, like what we talked about. There's some RX quad tracks on there. There's some Case quad tracks on there, whole slew of combines. So this is kind of where some of the best deals are throughout the summer are going to be end of July through the end of August. So keep that in mind. That's usually the low of the market for the year. So if you're looking for a little bit better deal or buy a combine before harvest, sell years after, I've seen guys do that and they come out really well.
Well, and if the harvest is looking better than you expected, you need another grain hopper or truck, something like that, not a bad time to be shopping, I see. You have got a lineup of some very well-cared-for equipment. I noticed a couple that caught my attention out in North Dakota.
Yeah, you know, and quite a variety, too. So all the different brands, We've got some sales that are just focusing on some cattle equipment. There's one out there that's got them big silage trailers on it. So, I mean, I can't imagine there's something we don't have on coming up on an auction.
Well, and it looks to me like even the stuffer slot's a little bit busy. Help people understand, sometimes dealers want a neutral site to auction off a lot of odds and ends that they've got. You know, it could be short line equipment, could be major. It sounds like it's all stacked up in the stuffer parking lot right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, so we've right in our lot here in Litchfield, we've got a big construction auction. It looks like a half mile long line of boom trucks, skid loaders, lots of pickups. I mean, everything. There's a tree equipment business that's moving in. But it's really handy to have those flagship lots where stuff can physically go to, because not everybody has a room and not everybody wants to be dealing with buyers showing up at different times and all that.
Don't forget, steffesgroup.com is where you can get started. steffesgroup.com. Or as Ashley said, just pick up the phone and give them a call if you're interested in taking a look at your options. 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewen along with us from the Steffes Group.
Hey, Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy. It's time to feel good. July 31st through August 10th, only at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
You know, if you're a county fair, this weather forecast is not what you had hoped for. County fairs put a lot of time and energy planning the itinerary they want you to enjoy. For many, that includes outdoor activities like truck and tractor pulls, concert venues. But what do you do when severe weather moves in? How do you protect your investment? How do you protect your bottom line? Stephanie Hoff has more.
We know farmers are always watching the weather. Well, this time of year, so are our county fair boards. With entertainment and attendance depending on good weather, success can be like flipping a coin. That makes insurance a necessity. Robert Holmes joins us. He's the president of Spectrum Weather and Specialty Insurance. He helps fairs protect their bottom line in case of a severe weather event or the countless other things that could go wrong.
Yeah, we've got a lot of different types of insurance products that help kind of ease that financial pain should there be a rainy night, whether it's a complete rain out of an event or just lack of crowd, so you're not making your walk-in revenue, your revenue in the beer garden later, or, you know, things like that. Or products that even respond to a complete cancellation, weather or no weather related. It could be a power outage or, you know, any other local emergency, and could occur days before the fair. So we've got a lot of different types of products that we can apply depending on the fair's needs. We have a product for excessive heat index that was developed a few years ago when a lot of our clients were, you know, telling me that it didn't rain at the fair, but it was so hot and humid that, you know, it really kind of crushed their crowd. So that's something we can insure now as well. And, you know, again, depending on what they need, we have lots of different applications. I call them Lego blocks. We can build something that's customized for them and their needs.
It's a big deal to a community. And if you go without a county fair and they can't recoup, that'd be a huge blow.
Yeah, I think we all have to remember that, you know, county fairs are about community, about, you know, FFA and 4-H, and bringing, you know, a work ethic from the kids and traditions, family reunion. I mean, there's fairs that the family meets at the fair every year, or they've been showing sheep forever, and it's really about that kind of those kind of values. And in order to do those types of things at fairs, many times, you know, there's some financial needs, and so they, you know, bring in rodeos and things like that to sell some tickets. People can have some fun. They can generate some revenue. And that needs to be protected, because the next year, if they have a bad year, it might be a very minimal fare and or no fare at all.
What's the price tag look like for some of these fares? What's the damage one rainy night could do?
So you could have a situation like, you know, maybe you're doing a concert at the fair, and all your costs and everything might be, let's say, $40,000. And between ticket sales and everything else, your goal is to go over that 40 and maybe make $10,000. And then if it's, you know, just a horrible night weather-wise, or, you know, power goes out or something, you're refunding tickets, all that money goes away, you lose all your revenue, but you still have to pay the artists, the people that do the staging, sound and lights, they all still get paid. And so that can be easily a $40,000 or $50,000 loss. If you've got the insurance in place, that loss goes away. And so it's kind of a, you break even on the night and you kind of live to fight another day, versus just, you know, for a lot of fairs, losing $40,000 is a lot of money. But the same can be said for a smaller event, a tractor pull, where maybe they're losing $10,000 or $15,000 to that fair relative to their budget size. It's the same impact.
Robert Holmes along with us. He's the president of Spectrum Weather and Specialty Insurance. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Yeah, thinking about you county fair organizers with this weather that is rolling in. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are fairly firm right now. New crop December corn's up a nickel at 425. New crop November beans up a dime at 1012. September wheat's up three at 541. Dairy, our product prices and our fluid milk prices all lower yesterday and in overnight electronic trade.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Brennan Center for Justice released its annual survey of local election officials. It found continued concerns for threats against poll workers and the loss of election security funding and staff now that the Trump administration has cut federal election security grants. The survey of over 800 municipal election officials found 60% were very or somewhat concerned about federal cuts to election security services. We reported in March on DOGE cuts of 300 cybersecurity experts from CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, and the suspension of grant funding to states for hardening systems to fight increasing cyber attacks from Russia, China, and Iran. Of the surveyed officials, 62% were concerned by the loss of CISA's direct technical support, and 80% said the federal government should be providing the same or more funding, not less. One-third of local election officials are very concerned about political leaders interfering with the work of poll workers, up 4% from a similar question in 2023. An additional one-quarter are somewhat worried about interference. Officials overwhelmingly, 81%, are concerned about false election information spread on social media, which contributes to 38% saying they have been harassed, abused, or threatened for just doing their job. We have links to the full Brennan Center survey at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are on the road and live from Oshkosh, the EAA Museum. Matt Nair on air and the Todd Albus Show. I hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Com. Today, I'm happy to say we're joined by Dr. Amy Reduns. Now, not only is she a key member of the Purina nutrition staff working in the beef arena, she is also the 2025 Wisconsin Cattleman of the Year. Congratulations, Amy. Thanks for checking in with us. Again, folks, she is a member of the Wisconsin Beef Council. Tell them a little bit about yourself, Amy. You're in Pierce County. You're a beef team member for Purina Nutrition. Tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get in this arena?
Sure. Well, I, you know, grew up on a farm, and I tell people that actually grew up in Minnesota, but, you know, we fed cattle on the farm, right? Classic farmer feeder situation. And I said it was imprinted at a young age with beef cattle, right? So that's been my interest. And as I entered college, joined animal science, went to North Dakota State, kind of there probably just, you know, emerged in beef culture, right? In the beef industry, that just set me on a track, right, to find ways and opportunities to continue to work in the beef industry. I used to say I enjoy the beef industry because these are the folks and the people that I get to work with, I think are just outstanding. And that's been the most rewarding part of this whole journey.
Absolutely. Now, how many years have you been on the Wisconsin Beef Council? Again, if you want to find out about that group, go to beeftips.com for recipes, resources, and to find out more about beef producers in Wisconsin like Amy. Why did you decide that it was worth your time? I mean, professionally, obviously, you know the connection, but why did Amy Reduns decide she wanted to personally engage with Wisconsin Beef Council?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that led me to that path. You know, I had gotten engaged with and was on the board for Wisconsin Cattlemen's, and I think the interest in the Beef Council, so I represent Wisconsin Cattlemen's on the Beef Council, and the checkoff, I think, is just such an outstanding program. Really, our goal is to build demand for beef, right? And I think another reason why I'm in the beef industry is I love beef, right? We have such a great product to promote. And it's also a critical part of our industry. If we don't have demand from those customers and their willingness to purchase it, right, it has a direct impact on the industry, right? I mean, it drives, we're at record high cattle prices. Even across, you know, I get to work a lot on exports or have been involved in that area. And we have this great product that people love. And the checkoff has been a really big reason why that has happened. And, you know, to serve on that and continue to try to grow beef demand, I think helps the industry as a whole.
Dr. Amy Reduns along with us. She is a member of the Wisconsin Beef Council, and most recently she has been appointed as Wisconsin's representative for Region 3 as a Region 3 Vice President for the Federation of State Beef Councils. Now, it sometimes gets a little confusing for the beef producers out there, Amy, which of course includes our dairy population, to understand what the Federation of State Beef Councils is. Can you help them explain?
Yeah, it's a unique structure in our checkoff system, but essentially there are two entities that oversee the national checkoff. One is Cattlemen's Beef Board, which we have representatives from the state of Wisconsin, and then we also would have the State Federation of Beef Councils, and that was set up when the act and order of the checkoff was established. And the Federation of State Beef Councils is the other entity. So 50 cents of that dollar that is collected goes to the national checkoff and 50 cents goes to the state beef councils. But, you know, really what that Federation of State Beef Councils and what I'm getting to learn about all the time is not only does it support the national checkoff, but it also develops a lot of services that help the state councils administer what they do. One of our biggest challenges is that we have, you know, we have less and less dollars. We are lower in cattle numbers. Cattle are not being marketed as much or exchanged, right, in the system or retain ownership. And that dollar doesn't go as far, right? And so one of the benefits of the Federation is that they provide a lot of services, not only just in terms of promoting beef, but helping our state beef councils be more efficient and utilize the national level to do things like even HR and IT work and some of those types of things to help support our state beef councils. So it supports the national checkoff, but there's a lot of benefits that come back to the state through the state of Federation Beef Councils.
Yeah, and like you said, you've had a chance to watch these organizations for the past 6 years as an active member of the Wisconsin Beef Council. And Amy just got back from the summer business meeting for the cattle industry out in California. Give us a little sense on that conversation, Amy, what you garnished from the meetings you were in out there.
Yeah, so I was there representing Wisconsin on the Federation side for the checkoff. This is a meeting of both the policy folks and the checkoff folks. I think overall, I mean, it's we're in a great place in the beef industry. You know, in terms of those high prices, record demand, even on exports, we face challenges, and I sit on the International Marketing Committee, so it's definitely was interesting to hear some of their perspectives. Our largest contractor is USMEF, which has staff in these countries promoting U.S. beef, right, and trying to grow those markets. While there's challenges, again, I just can't come back to just people still want to purchase our product, and we're the only ones that produce this high quality beef, right? And it's just so fun when you have a good product and people want it and are willing to pay for it, right?
Everybody working hand in glove. That's really the message of what we see when it comes to the beef checkoff. Those contractors driven by checkoff dollars, finding great things. If you want to find out more, go to beeftips.com. You'll see it there. And of course, as Amy said, never hesitate to reach out. This checkoff chat brought to you courtesy of our friends at the Equity Cooperative Livestock Association, supporting our livestock community since 1922. Take a look at all the services that they offer, including financing, online at equitycoop.com. I'm PM Yankee.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Company that wants to revitalize America's cropland. Today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Microalgae are part of one company's plan to feed those of us at the top of the food chain. The company is called MyLand, and Dane Haig is co-founder and CEO.
The reason we work with microalgae is it's the base of the food chain in the soil microbiome.
Haig says MyLand was started in 2014 to develop a system for using microalgae to revive depleted cropland. Early results showed promise, says Haig. Investors came on board, and the company is now working with farmers in 5 U.S. states and in Alberta, Canada.
If I can help farmers deliver better food to the table, then that's something I want to be a part of. I want to create the most impactful soil health company on Earth, but I want to do that by delivering results to their bottom line.
Haig says the process is focusing on irrigated land now, but is also exploring dry land options. The growing world population will require more food production, and Haig says it's not just up to the farmers to make that happen.
We always want to be a partner to that farmer, and we always want to be on that side of the table working with them to figure out how to drive additional value into their operation.
You can learn more at myland.ag. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And then the legendary and one and only Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions performs in the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More calls for the release of the Epstein files. Members of President Trump's base loudly demanding it. Attorney General Pam Bondi says there's nothing to release. The National Guard pulling out of Los Angeles. The Pentagon ordering the 2,000 California guardsmen who were called up during recent ICE protests to now leave the city. An American Idol music supervisor and her husband both found dead in their Los Angeles home. Police were conducting a welfare check and found the bodies of Robin Kay and her husband in the Encino neighborhood with gunshot wounds. LAPD Lieutenant Guy Golan says they have caught the man they think did it.
Motive is unknown. We're still looking into whether he has any type of relationship with the victims. Right now, it is an apparent random attack. The House did not appear to be ransacked.
The Senate voting to advance the White House-backed bill rescinding billions that have already been allocated for public health and public broadcasting. This is ABC News.